Transitions of care from the home and community, promises and pitfalls. That's the subject of a presentation by Penny Feldman of the Visiting Nurse Service of New York to be delivered in Kansas City April 20th, 2012. For more information on the symposium, visit practicalbioethics.org. practicalbioethics.org. Joining us now on the Bioethics Channel to talk about her presentation is Dr. Feldman, who is also the director of the Center for Home Care Policy and Research. Penny, let's start with the basic question. Where do we stand today in terms of transitions of care? Are we doing it right, or do we need to improve?
I would say that there's a lot more awareness in the professional community now. Hospitals know that they'll be penalized for inappropriate or avoidable readmissions within a 30-day period of hospitalization. So for the first time, they're reaching out to partners in the community, home care organizations like ours, to form cross-continuum teams to improve transitions, but those transitions still tend to be fairly abrupt. I think patients and families may also be more aware of the term transitional care, although that sounds like a technical term to a lot of people. But in the anxiety caused by a hospital stay and in people's, you know, very understandable desire to get home as soon as possible, and in the many last-minute decisions about what the discharge time and date will be, the transition often is not handled very well. I know in my own family and my own personal experience, we had two hospitalizations over the last year, and really we didn't know that the family member would be discharged until, you know, like 15 minutes before it happened. It was up again, on again, off again. And so there are lots of information gaps. There's a lot of anxiety around discharge from the hospital, and there are, you know, well-documented discrepancies. There are different sources of information that come from the hospital, and then those are different from what a home care nurse, for example, would find in a patient's home. And so there are gaps in setting up follow-up appointments, and gaps in informing the patient's primary care physician about the hospitalization and what happened. So there are just many, many issues, and I think we've made a lot of progress on awareness, as I started out saying, but I'm not sure how much more terrific the ordinary transition is.
You touched on this a little bit around what would a typical scenario, and I'll use the term handoffs of care.
Right.
What do families and medical professionals typically face as they make this transition?
Well, you know, take an example of an older person who may have been in the hospital for surgery, and so this is sort of a typical home care patient. There's a surgical wound to be dressed. There could have been a hip fracture, for example. And then, lo and behold, the older person turns up to have a touch of pneumonia in the hospital and maybe a little bit of a pressure ulcer coming home, and they're very unsure about what the discharge date is going to be. I mentioned the uncertainty about that before. So, you know, and there's some uncertainty about whether the person is going to go to a skilled nursing facility or is going to be able to go home. And there's uncertainty about, you know, can that person or a family member manage the wound dressings? Can they manage whatever has to be done to keep the pressure ulcer from getting worse? Who's going to help with the physical therapy side? How do the various medications that were prescribed in the hospital match up to what the patient has at home? Frequently, a patient gets discharged from the hospital at night even, and they don't have their pain medications, and the local pharmacy is closed or doesn't have the right medication. So a family member is rushing all over town to find a 24-hour pharmacy. We, you know, so the patients and the families' understanding of the multiple instructions and their readiness and capability to handle all of the post-surgical and then perhaps post-pneumonia things that have to be done. They may feel that they've got it all down in the hospital, but they don't have it when they get home. They're confused. And anxious.
Is this getting more attention now as statistics show that so many individuals end up back in the hospital?
You know, without doubt, it's getting more attention. There are a variety of national initiatives. The QIO program, the Quality Improvement Organizations across the country, has a national coordinating center for integrating care, and they've been trying all different community initiatives across the country to improve transitional care. As I might have mentioned before, home care organizations are finding hospitals approaching them to work on cross, you know, continuum collaboration. The Commonwealth Fund has something called the STAR program in three states to improve transitions. The CMMI, which is the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Innovations, which was established as part of the Affordable Care Act, is funding a variety of transitional care programs across the country. So there's a lot more being done. I mean, in a funny way, if you're frail enough or sick enough that you're going to be homebound after your hospital stay, you're at least eligible for home care if your physician knows about it and or you know enough to ask for it. But people who aren't really homebound but nevertheless are facing all of these issues after a handoff don't necessarily have, you know, a coach or a navigator to help them. And it's tough going. I mean, I've got a PhD in health, you know, and I'm a health services researcher. And believe me, there were many challenges that I faced personally in helping my loved ones navigate this process.
Well, so it seems like there's a lot of study going on, and one of the studies that you've been involved with is testing the care transition measures to see whether home health agencies and other providers can use it to meet some goals. Talk to us about that.
Right. Well, so the care transition measure is a wonderful measure that was developed actually by Eric Coleman out at the University of Colorado. I hope I've got that right. And it basically asks an individual, after the individual gets home from the hospital, a lot of questions to try to capture whether or not that person was, you know, involved in planning, whether there was any planning for the handoff, and also really inquiring about whether the individual feels capable and ready to manage their health care and their medications and so forth after leaving the hospital. And, it turns out that there's a lot of variation across the country. We've been testing this care transitions measure in the home care population in New York City, among a large number of people admitted to the Visiting Nurse Service of New York, which is where our research center is located. And actually, that what we have found among this sample of patients is that the quality of their transition into home and, you know, out of the hospital is actually lower than reported by the national average. And we don't really know whether this is because there are some unique things about the New York City healthcare market and, or whether it has to do with the fact that, you know, maybe it's a good thing that physicians who, refer a patient to home care kind of flag them as people who would not easily be able to digest all the information coming their way. So we're actually testing whether how people report their experience based on the care transitions measure can help us predict the problems that a patient is going to experience in the home care stay and to adjust service use accordingly, and therefore to try to reduce the risk of rehospitalization. So we're just in the process. We've got the data back, and we're just beginning to look at it. So I can't report the latter part to you, but I can tell you that on average, we have discovered that the quality of the transition experience out of the hospital has not been terrific for these patients.
How will this change as policy changes, as readmissions start costing institutions some money?
Well, I think there's absolutely no question. This is on every hospital's radar screen. It's on the radar screen of the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services. And I'm really hopeful. You know, there are a couple of very strong transitional care models out there that have been developed, one by Mary Naylor at the University of Pennsylvania, one by Eric Coleman, that use a variety of nurse practitioner services, patient coaching, and the like to help get patients through the transition and reduce hospitalization. Our own organization is involved in a variety of transitional care initiatives. We're also front-loading home care visits and working hard to see that patients see their primary, you know, they have their follow-up physician office visit as soon as possible after they're discharged from the hospital. And so we're working on our own and with our hospital partners to improve transitional care. And actually, over the last few years, we've seen a very significant drop in the hospitalization rates among our own home care patients. So there's no fixed payment outside of home care right now for transitional care. And I think a lot of us are hopeful that with the Center for Innovation Initiatives and others, that there maybe we'll be lucky enough and Medicare will build a transitional care benefit into the Medicare program so that you won't just have to be homebound to qualify for help that gets you through this experience and reduces the likelihood of and the costs associated with rehospitalization.
If you have one message for people and professionals that you talk to about this, what would it be?
You know, I think it would be communication, 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 and actually trying to get the communication standardized. So, you know, early in our conversation, I talked about all of the discrepancies and the information that comes. I mean, medication is a classic example. A patient may come home with three different lists, all with different meds on them. Then the home care nurse goes in and there's a whole different set of medications. So we need hospitalists, hospital-based physicians, and discharge planners to be in close communication with patients and families and nurses in the field. We need a genuine collaboration between families, patients, and in my own experience, the home care team and the hospital team and the primary care physician. And increasingly, there are more sophisticated electronic ways of sharing information. There's still actually a lot of challenges and barriers to getting that right information across settings in real time. But there are some institutions that are really making headway. I mean, our Visiting Nurse Service of New York has electronic health exchange with a lot of our hospital partners. Our own research center has experimented with what we call e-transitions, which was a mechanism for physicians in the hospital to kind of fill out the home care admission form and for it to come and populate the home care record. I mean, this is doable. It's not rocket science, but it requires a lot of cooperation and the will to communicate effectively. And I guess I'm optimistic that I would say we definitely have the way, and I'm optimistic that the will is really growing as we speak.
Penny Feldman, Ph.D., is Senior Vice President for Research and Evaluation at the Visiting Nurse Service of New York and Director of the Center for Home Care Policy and Research. For more information about the Ethics of Transitions of Care Symposium, scheduled for Kansas City on April 20th, 2012, visit practicalbioethics.org. practicalbioethics.org. I'm Laurel LeBoux. Thanks for listening to the Bioethics Channel.